Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Asutrata Sri Srimati Divine Grace Vaishnavarinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glorious assembled devotees. All glorious assembled devotees. All glorious assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 9. Entitled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, text number 20.
Yam manyase matulyam priyam mitram suritatamam akaroha sachivam dutam saurdat atha sardhim. Yam manyase matulyam priyam mitram surutamam akora sachivam dutam సౌరదా తథ సారథీం యమ్ మన్యసే మాతుల్యం ప్రియం మిత్రం సుహృత్తం అకోరా సచివం దూతం సౌరదా తథ సారథీం యమ్ మన్యసే మాతుల్యం ప్రియం మిత్రం సుహృత్తమం అకరో సచివం దూతం సౌరదా తథ సారథీం యమ్ మన్యసే మాతుల్యం ప్రియం మిత్రం సుహృత్తమం అకరా సచివం దూతం సౌరదా తథ సారథీం అమ్మన్యసే మాతులేయం ప్రియం మిత్రం సురుత్తమం అకరో సచివం దూతం సౌరదా తథ సారథీం అమ్మన్యసే మాతులేయం ప్రియం మిత్రం సురుత్తమం అకరో సచివం దూతం సౌరదాదత సారథీం యమ్ మాన్యసే మాతులేయం ప్రియం మిత్రం సురుత్తమం అకరో సచివం దూతం సౌరదాదత సారథీం లేడీస్ యమ్ మన్యసే మాతుల్యం ప్రియం మిత్రం సుహృత్తమం అకరో సచివం దూతం సౌరదా తథ సారథి యమ్ ద పర్సన్ మన్యసే యు థింక్ మాతుల్యం మెటర్నల్ కజిన్ ప్రియం వెరీ డియర్ మిత్రం ఫ్రెండ్ సురుత్తమం ఆర్డెంట్ వెల్ విష అకరోహ ఎగ్జిక్యూటెడ్ సచివం కౌన్సిల్ దూతం మెసెంజర్ సౌరదాద్ బై గుడ్ విల్ అథ ధేరపాన్ సారథీం చారియటర్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ప్రపోర్ బై శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ O king, that personality whom out of ignorance only you thought to be your maternal cousin, your very dear friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc., is that very personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna, although acting as the cousin, brother, friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc. of the Pandavas, was still the supreme personality of Godhead. Out of his causeless mercy and favor upon his unalloyed devotees, he performs all kinds of service. But that does not mean that he has changed his position as the absolute person. To think of him as an ordinary person is the grossest type of ignorance. Omagyana tivarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai sri guruve namaha sri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale స్వయం రూప కదామయం దదాతి స్వాపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపాం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణ లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖానితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు ದೀನಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ತಾಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೆ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನು ಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಛಾ ಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. Sri Krishna is probably the most mysterious subject in creation. To understand Krishna, more than any subject in the entire world, which can be difficult to comprehend for the human intellect, there is no subject more difficult to understand than Krishna. Why? Because he is beyond the intelligence. The human intellect can only understand things based on its very poor fund of knowledge. It is so surprising. And the spiritual capital of the world is the land of India. So we don't talk about other parts of the world where, as Prabhupada says, there is gross ignorance about God. And yet, even in the place where the Lord appeared in numerous incarnations, where is the knowledge in our own country that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Most of us sitting here are from devout Hindu families, and the names of Ramakrishna and Shiva are commonplace utterances, worships, festivals, etc. And yet, how many Indians really even know today that Krishna is Supreme Godhead? When Shyamasundara Prabhu came in 1971 from America to assist Srila Prabhupada in his divine mission of establishing Krishna Bhakti in India, and more so in Mumbai, when they were staying at Akash Ganga next door. And moving around in various vehicles, setting up programs, meeting life members, trying to preach Prabhupada's message, they were surprised that in the entire city of Bombay they saw no Krishna Bhaktas. When they came in their anticipation that land of India means there will be everywhere, there will be temples, devotees, but they did not see Krishna anywhere, except some cycle mart called Krishna Cycle Mart. He writes in his rhinoceros book. There's also some Krishna here and there on boards of shops, but there are hardly Krishna temples, even in our country, in 1971. There was a scarcity, a drought, an obvious vacuum of the understanding at who is God. This is the state of the world. And therefore, Krishna, unfortunately, is a subject of so much of speculation. Prabhupada writes, some people say God is dead. Some people say God is an old man, because he was there from the time of creation, so obviously. So they put him as a long beard and things like that. The grossest ignorance, Prabhupada says, is a very nice, profound line here. The grossest ignorance in the world is to think of Krishna as ordinary. Radha Gopinath Prabhu's some statements are immortalized over the years and through his most famous JOSG courses. One of them is that What is ignorance? He says, to think of a human being as God and to think of God as a human being. Right? He says that. So to make a man, ordinary man of this world with Pancha Mahabhut body and make him into a God, this is common. So many Babas, so many so-called mystics are proclaimed, worshipped and eulogized on altars as gods. Right? Another part of ignorance is to think God, who is actually God, as a amongst us. That is ordinary human being. So even the people see Ramayana serial, Mahabharata serial extensively, and even though there are so many serials going on the television, yet the concept of Krishna as the Supreme Godhead is still very, very evasive. Very, very evasive. There's so much of talk of Krishna, so much of propaganda, so much of Gita available, so much of everything. There's no lack of information. Something is rare, information not there, information is there. Tarko Pratishto Sutta Vibhinno, right? The Vana Parva Mahabharata says that the only way to understand Krishna is not by logic, not by reading scriptures, not by argumentation, right? Not by hearing from munis. The only way to understand Krishna or God is Mahajanoyena Gathasapanthaha. There is absolutely no other way. And this comes from the mouth of the same person who is being talked to here. That is Maharaj Yudhishthir, who is hearing patiently from his great-grandfather, Bhishma Dev. And what is the fallout? What are the repercussions of this lack of knowledge? It's a very serious subject because of not having access to the parampara knowledge. During the time of Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our worshipable previous predecessor acharyas, there was so much of rampant ignorance in society that people considered Krishna in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as ordinary. When you make God ordinary, your consciousness becomes ordinary. Your approach to God becomes ordinary. And that gives birth to Prakritra Sahajya mood of so-called devotion. Everything becomes Sahaj. So a large part of Indians who think that they are devotees are actually Sahajiyas. Because they think God is very cheap. And they can approach, oh God, Krishna came in my dream, and I saw Radha and Krishna in my dream. And they will think that, oh Lalo, Krishna, and they will have some vatsalya bhav towards them, etc., etc. Unless there is proper knowledge. Tupa Prabhupada says, everyone says God is great. But how great is God is first to be established clearly in our consciousness before you can approach Him with devotion. Gyan comes before bhakti. And not the other way around. In the Vaidhi stage, you need jnana. Therefore, you need guru to give you the jnana. Therefore, the first step is Sri Guru Padashraya. And then comes bhakti. So first there has to be jnana. And therefore, it is so beautiful to understand that when two things to draw this conclusion. Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, whose Gaur Purnima is coming very shortly, so we must talk about him. He heard scriptures from Chandidas, Jayadev Goswami, and one more author. Anyway, he heard from Jayadev Goswami's scriptures, and his top of scripture is Gita Govinda. Right? And Gita Govinda deals with some very, very intimate leelas of Radha and Krishna. But before writing that scripture, knowing that this is a type of knowledge prevalent in the world about God, he wrote another beautiful kavya called as Dasha Avatara Stotra. Beginning with Pralaya Payodhi Jale Dhitavanasi Vegam. It describes the Dasha Avatars. This is the preface of the Gita Govinda. Why did he write that? So intelligent. This is 13th century when people were far more pious. Hidde Goswami is 13th century Vaishnava poet living at Champahati in Siddha Mayapur. Right? Even at that time he understood that Krishna is misunderstood. So if I write about Krishna's intimate leelas before establishing who is this person called Krishna, he will be severely misunderstood. Those who read the scripture will become more sahaja-like. Therefore he had to write about Dashavatara Stotram, where Krishna's glory is first established. Right? Glory is first established. And then when you approach him systematically. Why is Krishna's pastimes only in the 10th canto? One in the point, why not in the first canto? So there was some, he knows this fact. That if I talk about Krishna directly, his intimate leelas of Vrindavan, directly on canto 1, it will be a horrible thing for the future of the world. Therefore, he had to systematically arrange his old talk of 7 days in a way whereby gradually the reader is brought from canto 1, slowly up the hill, goes up the hill and then gradually understands and reaches the 10th canto. When his heart is prepared to understand, when he understands the mood of devotion of Dhruva and Prahlad and Bhishma Dev, the Prachetas, Lord Shiva, when he understands the prayers and the mood of devotion, then when he gradually, organically grows in his devotion to the 10th canto, then he can understand what actually is this person who's stealing butter from the houses of the gopis, who's, you know, rolling in the dust of mud of Vrindavan, who's actually playing the flute, who's stealing other wives' clothes and dancing with them in the night. Krishna can be easily misunderstood by anybody unless he allows an organic growth of his devotion. Therefore, in our country, it is condemned to hear Bhagavatam from two people. One is those who jump in the recitation directly to the 10th canto, talking about Rasika Leelas of Pancha Rasa Adhyay, totally unwanted. A Bhagavad reciter must always respect the original author Sukhdev Goswami and start slowly and then go to the intimate pastimes of Krishna. And if a person is actually speaking Bhagavatam for money, he is condemned in this world. Because the professional head, there is no devotion can emanate from the mouth of such a money-minded Bhagavad speaker. And to hear from such person is considered as poisonous to the consciousness. Therefore, we are so very grateful. We are so unlimitedly blessed that we have the parampara message from Srila Prabhupada, who knew exactly the weaknesses of this world and presented Krishna consciousness so very scientifically and perfectly that none of us here are sahajiyas. There are no sahajiyas in our ISKCON society. But everyone is grounded in deep knowledge. And therefore the devotion is very much based on philosophical premises and Siddhanta. Prabhupada writes clearly in the 4 Mahavakyas, books are the basis. Very clearly. Imagine to us, to prevent this gross type of ignorance, how much our acharyas had to write to eradicate this misconception. Imagine the amount of literature's prolific writing. Mahaprabhu did not write anything, but he made Rupa Goswami write unlimited books. Kaviraj Goswami, he wrote unlimited books. Paramount, of course, are Bhaktiya Samrita Sindhu and Bhakti Samrita and Ujjala Nilamani, and books like that. But he wrote unlimited books. Jiva Goswami, how many scriptures he wrote? He wrote 400,000 verses. Sandarbhas, Gopal Bhatta Swami wrote books, Manasik Shabai Raghunath Das Goswami, Vishnachika Thakurthi, how many book series is written, right? Sajjan Toshani, every month produced by Thakur Bhakti Vinod, harmonist by Saraswati Thakur, in the book describing the glories of Saraswati Thakur called The Ray of Vishnu, in the appendix behind, when you read the number of books written by Saraswati Thakur, and if you read them, it will take half an hour. So, I was counting the number of pages enumerating the books. There are 9 pages of just enumerating the title of the books is written. 9 pages. The question one must ask ourselves is, why is all the literature necessary? Are acharyas wasting their time in just writing all this? Nana shastra vichara naika nipunau shad dharma samsthapakau. To prevent this statement from happening in our lives. What is that? To think of Krishna as ordinary. Of course, the Lord performs beautiful leelas also to establish this fact over and above the scriptural evidences. We know of holy land of Dwarkapuri. This story is beautifully given in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This story fascinated me when I heard it for the first time. And it fascinates anyone who listens to it. Krishna is sitting in Dwarkapuri. What does Krishna not like in his devotees? He doesn't like pride in his devotees. So, being the Lord in the heart, he can detect even immediately in a microscopic amount of pride. And of course, we have mountains of that. So, he saw that there's a little pride in Brahma's heart. So, one day Brahma came to meet the Lord at Dwarkapuri. You know, even in Jagannath Puri, we know the Lord, even a deity form, the demigods come in the night to see him after his bada singar is dresses. That's why the Jagannath Swami wears, nobody does singar in the night, no? You don't wear fancy clothes in the night, you wear night clothes. But Jagannath Swami is unique, he does bada singar at 11 p.m. Why? Because he's supposed to give audience to the demigods. Darbar will be there, court will be there, reporting will be there. Okay, Indra, what is your report? Varuna, what is your report? Okay, Chandra, are you, everything is okay? How is everything going on? Right? He's saying a report, so you know, he has to be a king. So he's like Bala Shingar. The Lord remembered, so the Brahmaji comes to meet with him in Dwarkapuri. And sit down to meet the Lord, as the doorkeepers. So you wait. Go and ask. You know, no, they don't allow anybody to get in. And they ask the person inside, the boss, the CEO, and he said, Brahma has come to see you. So then he said, okay, go and ask which Brahma. So then ask, which Brahma are you? So that person flabbergasted Brahma completely. Said, what? What do you mean which Brahma? I mean, two things. One is the head with Brahma with four heads, and the father of the four Chatushkumar. I said, okay, just wait. The Brahma with four heads and Chatushkumar's father has come. I said, okay, let him in. So Brahma is still not sure why this question was ever asked. He still doesn't have an answer for that. So he walks into with some amount of apprehension. What's happening? You know, why this question was asked by the Lord? So when he comes inside the huge darbar of Dwarkapuri, it's a huge place, and he looks around, and he sees Brahma with eight heads, 16 heads, 32 heads, 128 heads, 256 heads, 1008 heads, million heads, a billion heads. Brahma is completely bewildered. So I'm sure all of us are bewildered. Because it makes absolutely no medical, biological sense. How can one person have millions of heads? Even four heads is a little difficult, but chalo, we have seen cobras with four heads, and you know, Anansesha has got, and Kalia had a lot of heads, and so we can accommodate a few heads. But the human brain being so small, the frog in the well, our brains cannot decipher with any logical understanding how can somebody have millions of heads. Right? And these are Brahmas of this material world. Right? And so Brahma looks at them and he feels like a small mosquito in the midst of giant elephants. Right? So this is the Lord's creation. This is how extraordinary Krishna is. He is the Lord and Master. Our universe is being the smallest universe, needs only four-headed Brahma. And Pavaneshwar Prabhu knows exactly what the diameter of this universe is, and length, breadth, and all the mountains here, and loka, 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 and all that. He's the expert in all that. So, all the dimensions are known to him and is put in his nice book. Our universe is rather small, it's right? It's one of the smallest universes. Therefore, you need only four-headed Brahma. But there are much, much, much more bigger universes than this. And therefore, their complexity is so very great that require Brahma with thousands of heads to manage all the massive complexity of that universe. Right? And this is all done by whom? That Krishna who lifts a golden hill on little left finger and eats makhan every day. And goes and passes urine in the house of the gopis. Right? So it is so bewildering. Is it not bewildering? It's absolutely bewildering. What kind of a God is this? There are two sets of coverings which prevent us from understanding Krishna. It is interesting to see and note that even the Brijbasis consider Krishna as ordinary, and the person in gross ignorance also considers Krishna as ordinary. Both these groups of diverse groups will say Krishna is ordinary. So what is the difference? Both are in the same conclusion. The Brijbasis say Krishna is ordinary. Right? Siddhama jumps on his shoulders and says, check, come on, goda goda. Goda 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 karo. So Siddhama jumps on his head, on his shoulders, and he wrestles with Krishna and then defeats him. Say, you don't, I defeated you, okay? Chalo, come down. Bow down, I'm going to climb on your shoulders. Right? And Krishna bows down like a ghoda and allows Siddhama to sit on his shoulders and takes head to sing for a ride. That's how ordinary Siddhama thinks Krishna is. He's my friend. Who says he's God? It's all bogus. And the ordinary person also thinks that Krishna is ordinary. So when the ordinary person he is Krishna is ordinary, means that means he is covered by Mahamaya. Naham prakasha sarvasah yogo maya samavritah. Mudohayam nabhi janati. Gita says very clearly. So when we think Krishna is ordinary, it is because we are covered by Mahamaya. And the Brijbasis think Krishna is ordinary, he is covered, they are covered by Yoga Maya. Therefore Krishna says, Atma Mayaya. Krishna says, Atma Mayaya. I cover myself with my Yoga Maya, so they cannot see my real nature. And even people like Brahma make this massive mistake. Lord Ramachandra is sitting on the search party to send to Mother Sita. And Hanuman has figured out that Sita Maya is at Ashoka Vatika in Lanka. And the whole army is supposed to come and they want to make a bridge for the ocean. And Ram is, you know, taking a more, you know, simpler role. He said, okay, we'll request the ocean to give us permission because we are using his facilities. So he sat down in meditation, wanting to have Varun Dev come and tell him that, yes, but you know, you can make a bridge over me. So Ram sits for 3 days, fasting, praying, requesting the ocean, can you allow me to make a bridge over you? And Varun Dev does not come. So till that time he is playing the role of, what is this? Ordinary Lord. Then he shows his Bhagavat mood. And then his eyes become the red. And he takes a Brahmastra and shoots it at the ocean. And then, of course, Varun Dev comes out, begs forgiveness, repents his mistake, audacity, and allows. So even Varun Dev could not understand that Ram is Godhead. The entire chapter of 14th chapter of 10th canto is called as Brahma Vimohana Leela. Now we talk about, you know, our understanding of God. What is Brahma's intelligence compared to our intelligence? What is our intelligence? It's so microscopic. Brahma couldn't understand that this ordinary boy who's herding the cows, he actually is Godhead. Therefore, that Leela is so special. It's so special that even Brahma made this mistake. So when Krishna goes to chase, to figure out where the cows are, and the whole Leela which took place. And then when Brahma comes down and repents, what is when Krishna opens up that, as you said, Krishna covers himself with that Yogamaya. So we should also know what happens when Krishna opens that Yogamaya. When that Krishna removes that curtain which is covering him, what really happens? What is inside that curtain? What is below and beneath that curtain? We should also know that. Right? Because we know how Krishna looks when the curtain is there. But what happens when it is opened for people to see? So Brahma is now repentant, is offering prayers like anything. His eyes are shedding tears of repentance. And then Krishna sits there with his, right or left hand, but he has this fruit salad in one hand. And from his body emanates 400 Vishnu forms. Hundreds, thousands of Narayan forms all around Krishna. And around each Narayan form, which is brilliant, are all the demigods. And along with the demigods are all the 24 energies. And along with them are all the sages and rishis around each Narayan form. And there are millions of Narayan forms which are being exhibited. And when Brahma looks at that, he becomes completely blank. He doesn't know how to react whatsoever. How the small little child holding just a fruit salad in his hand is exhibiting such a mystical, beautiful, grandiose, splendorous part of his actual existence. All of them are in Krishna's body. All the Narayana forms are in Krishna's body. All the Vaikuntha Lokas are in Krishna's body. Krishna exhibited that to Brahmaji. And once Brahma got completely bewildered and he repented, that I am like a small jugnu, like a glowworm. I was thinking I was great. That is what happens to a person who is in ignorance. He thinks, when you think that God is ordinary, what happens automatically? We think we are great. Right? If God is ordinary, that means I must be great. Because if God is ordinary, then whatever. And when you start thinking God is great, what happens? We think we are ordinary. So till we do not understand philosophically, siddhantically, scientifically, from the authorized scriptures, by authorized personalities in the parampara, about Krishna's true glory, we cannot destroy our pride. Because pride is there, there's something special about me which makes me the way I am. I am this, this and this. Right? But we say how great God is, then you start thinking you are Anu and Krishna is Vibhu. So, this is very beautiful. This is very, very beautiful. And Srila Prabhupada shared with all of us today. And one of his special associates who came to this world, of course, is my Mahaprabhu came to this world in order to propagate Krishna Bhakti. Today also the disappearance day of Rasikananda Acharya. So, Rasikananda Prabhu, in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Hriday Chaitanya, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Bhoridas Pandit, Hriday Chaitanya, his disciple is Shamananda Pandit, his disciple is Rasikananda. Right? So, again, even today the world doesn't understand and know the glory of these guest personalities, the thing like ordinary saints. right? Shyamananda Pandit is himself is Pradyumna of the Chaturvyuha. Rasikananda is none other than Aniruddha of the Chaturvyuha, right? So Gaur Lila and associates is so very wonderful that the Chaturvyuha also is here, Krishna is here, Panchatattva, all his associates from different Leelas, from all various incarnations are all here. It is like now coming together like a reunion of all the various wonderful Vaishnavas from all the Leelas of that ever took place in the Lord's pastimes, all come together in just one Leela of Gaur Leela. Either they come before him, with him, or they come after him. Born of Achyuta. His father's name was Achyuta. Right from his very birth, his brilliance. Of course, he had the science of the Mahapurusha. He was divine incarnation like personality. Various passions are given by Gopi Vallabha Prabhu, his personal disciple. Especially his area of contribution is preaching in Utkal, Odisha. A lot of followers, even today, who owe the Krishna Bhakti, Gaur Bhakti, in Utkal are because of Rasikananda Prabhu's preaching. His father was almost like a big landlord, almost like a king. And of course we know that as brilliant personalities are like the Lord and his associates come in this world, they have brilliant attributes. They are the beauty of their eyes, the form, his smile, his sweet talk. He said he was so nectarian. There was people who would see him said they have never seen a son, a child like this in the world. He was so extraordinarily beautiful personality. From very young age, how fast he picked up all his grammar, his Sanskrit, knowledge of the scriptures, so rapidly he just picked up everything so fast. He became so empowered in all the various six darshans, could logically debate with anybody and defeat them. The Lord came in the dream of Shyamananda Pandit, said, "You are in Vrindavan, but you should go. My dear devotee is in Utkal and you must give him initiation there." And he came the dream of Rasikananda Prabhu and said, "Your real guru is going to come very shortly from Braja." So Shyamananda Pandit came into the king of Mallabhumi, Achyuta's kingdom, and there was a big sabha of Srimad Bhagavatam recitation going on, and Rasikananda Prabhu also was there, and Shyamananda Prabhu just enters the... He doesn't know where Rasikananda Prabhu is staying. But he just entered the court darbar and Bhagavat Katha was, Harikatha was going on. After all the Brahmanas, Vaishnavas left, Rasikananda stayed back. Shyamananda Prabhu saw him. They both saw each other and they could understand that they have an eternal connection. And he offered his obeisances and said, "I have come simply to give you initiation." So all that Rasikananda Prabhu did in his life was simply to fulfill the ardent desire of Shyamananda Pandit to bring Krishna consciousness to this world, which is the original desire of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, there, our Lord and Master. And the impact was so very great. Of course, we have heard this beautiful pastime of he giving Diksha, and the number of disciples of Shyamananda Pandit is unbelievable. Literally, there is no count of this. It is supposed to be like millions. Millions of disciples. But one disciple was an elephant. There was a very, very cruel Yavana called Ahmad Beg. You know, this is 15th century, right? So we were under the Muslim Raj. And he was so treacherous. He was so cruel. He would just kill people ordinarily. And he would convert so many people to accept his faith. And here he started getting news that people are going to listen to some person called Rasikananda. The Hindus are going and even the Muslims are going. And they are taking diksha from him. "Why are you going all this? Where are you going all these guys? Where are you going?" And, you know, his all followers are sort of becoming converted. Because the brilliance, the purity, and so attractive features. And people just saw him and they heard him and they just wanted to surrender their lives to him wholesale. So he was very concerned about this. So his followers came and said that actually he's the incarnation of Narayan. Then what bogus? What nonsense is the incarnation of Narayan? We'll see all that nonsense. We'll see. Right? So then, I'll have to test him out to really believe this. So in the meanwhile, when that is being spoken, there is a wild elephant in the village. And elephants are strong, right? And in your wild, mad elephant, what destruction can take place? He was just going and blowing off trees and throwing people and killing them, stamping them, you know, destroying houses, like anything. He was on a rampage. And he was mad, obviously, he was mad. So, he didn't know what he was doing, right? So, I believe that he is Narayan's incarnation if he can handle this elephant. So, Rasanandhi Prabhu is with various of his followers and said this huge mammoth charging. Of course, they all ran away. Huh? But Rasanandhi just kept walking towards, just walked there and sat. And the mammoth came dashing with great force, right? As soon as he came close to Rasikaran Prabhu, he just subdued himself. He bowed down and put his head below. And Rasikaran Prabhu preached to him, "Why are you wasting your life like this? Why are you destroying people and property? You know the goal of life is to get Krishna Prem." He preached to him like as if anybody else would preach to a normal human being. He connected to his soul immediately. Because all souls are Krishna's devotees. Elephant body, ant body, dog body. So he talked to the soul directly. And the soul heard such a pure vibration coming from the mouth of Rasikananda. And again he bowed down. Hundreds of times he bowed down. Because he really understood that he was wasting his life. And started shedding tears of repentance. And then when he saw that he's now humble, Pranipatena, Pariprasanath, but Pranipat was there. So he went to his right ear, you know, the elephant's ears, you know, floppy ears, he opened his right ear and chanted, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Your name will be Gopal Das." So elephant's name was Gopal Das. The another episode is there where there were the same disciple of Gopal, his elephant disciple. There's a lot of commotion in the villages, and one day Rasikaran Prabhu told elephant disciple that you go and another Yavan was there. He also was not see. You know, as I said, the theme of the talk today is that people think that devotees are ordinary, Krishna is ordinary, right? This is what, no, you can understand the glory of the great souls. So he now believed that, you know, this person is great. So another Yaman king was there. He was a Subedar actually, not a king, he was a Subedar. He didn't believe that, you know, all this Narayan Baran business was nonsense, you know. So he said, yeah, I'll believe him if he can actually, you know, collect elephants from the entire village and bring them together and preach to them. So it just gives some very extraordinary type of thing. Nobody can manage this. So Rasikaran Prabhu said, okay, we'll do it. Of course, he didn't say we'll do it. He actually said, I'm Krishna's servant. If the Lord desires, it can happen. So he summoned for his elephant disciple, Gopal. But Gopal, you go now and bring all your friends from the jungle. Right? And will engage in Sankirtan. So Gopal was very obedient. Very, very obedient. See, elephants have great intelligence. We should not laugh at this. They have great, great intelligence. The elephant of Maharana Pratap, his name was Ram Prasad. Extremely intelligent. And sold out to Maharana Pratap. Just like Chetak was sold out horse to him. There's a story like that. He was arrested by Akbar because he was a Kshatriya elephant. He could hold sword and kill in the war. So he was a Kshatriya elephant. because there's such a powerful kshatriya. I want this elephant. So 12 elephants surrounded Ramprasad, and they arrested him and took him to Delhi. And he told his soldiers, I want this elephant to be made into mine. Do whatever, feed him, do something, but make him mine. The elephant stopped eating. He was separated from his master. One day, 2 days, 5 days, 10 days, they kept training him, feeding him, coaxing him, cajoling him. 15 days, 18 days, not a drop of water. He left his body. He would rather remain loyal to his master than surrender to somebody else. Right? Over the story told us that Akbar realized that if elephants are so loyal, I can never purchase Rana Pratap. He's not a purchasable person. His elephants are so loyal to him. So this is the type of loyalty that Gopal had towards Asikananda also. He was a very loyal disciple. Something for all of us to learn from elephants. We should give our loyalty to our spiritual master, to our organization, to ISKCON, to Srila Prabhupada's society. So he went and collected 14 elephants from from the jungle. And they engage in Sankirtan. How wonderful the Sankirtans of Asikananda Prabhu. Right? Many such beautiful leelas are there. He got married to Ichha Devi and served so wonderfully. And became a proponent of Gaur Bhakti. Converted so many kings, brahmanas, all sorts of people into Krishna consciousness. Today is his disappearance day, and so also is the disappearance day. A few words worth mentioning about Jagannath Babaji Maharaj. Again, who would ever think, you know, now he's on our altar, he's sitting there, we worshipping him today. How would an ordinary person's eyes ever believe that he is a great soul? Unless we were told that he is a Siddha Purusha. Right? How would we know? We would not know. He was famous as Siddha Baba. Born in 1750 in Bangladesh. Again, the absorption of the great souls. Whether Sikanand Prabhu, Jagannath Babaji Maharaj, Thakur Bhakti Vinod. What is the absorption? Absorption of a great Vaishnava is in two activities. Something to learn from our acharyas. They are absorbed in two activities with deep, deep, deep consciousness. One is chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Second is serving the Vaishnavas. This was the hallmark of Jagannath Babaji Maharaj's entire existence. To be absorbed in Harinam for hours together and days together, not eat his prasad also. Oblivious of the external world. Feeling Krishna in His holy name, His personal presence. Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitan Rasa Vigraha, Abhinatvam Nama Namino. They understood that. The Lord is not different from His holy name. Major highlights of His life. He lived for 147 long years. Remarkable, right? Siddha Purush. So there are some examples of why is he called Siddha Baba. Baba means pure devotee, Vaishnavas. Siddha Baba. So people come to take initiation from him, knowing he was such a great soul. So somebody came to take the initiation from him and said, Babaji, can I become a disciple? And a very influential person came to him. So nobody would refuse generally. Rich person, yeah. Next initiation, many have to argue initiation right now. But he wasn't like that. He wasn't looking for followers. So he said, but before that he said that, can you show some miracle to me? So he said, I don't do any miracles. I'm just an ordinary person. He took a stick in his hand and started hitting the ground. Hey, 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 hey! So, she got very angry, she got very scared. Maybe the stick was, I did the wrong thing. So no, I'm not angry at you. There are some goats eating tulsi in the samadhi of Loknath Goswami at Radhakund. So I'm just taking them out. Now this is happening in Navadvip. So he sent an inquiry. And he got a letter back from, said, actually the goats had destroyed, a goat had destroyed tulsi plants at Vrindavan. So, you know, he's a Siddha Purusha. He's a very advanced soul. Bhagavat, his disciple is Bhagavat Acharya, Bhagavat Babaji Maharaj, and his disciple is Gorakshas Babaji Maharaj. So that's a line. Bhagavat Babaji Maharaj is his principal disciple, and his very strong, stout personal servant is Bihari Prabhu. He would carry him in a basket made of bamboo. Because you're so old, and as you get old, your spine collapses, right? The spine degenerates. And the spine degenerates, it bends. So you find a lot of old people, you know, they are like bend. They don't bend backwards, they bend usually forwards. So you bend, so you can see him now also. He's bent. So he became like a small body, bent, rolled over sort of. And he was carried in a basket. But this is his material sort of side of his body. And the moment of Sankirtan going on, his body would expand full length with hands raised like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chant the Mahamantra. That was his body. That was his body. It's transcendental. It cannot be imitated, right? How can the body can go like this? That will happen only during Sankirtan of the Holy Name. So when he was at Navadvip, he visited various places, Siva Sangan. And when he came to Yoga Pit, he got went into ecstasy. Bhakti Thakur had just discovered the birthplace of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And when he came there, he started jumping and dancing so much. And he confirmed that this is the actual place. Yehi to hai Gaur Janma Bhumi. He started loudly shouting out. Yehi to hai Gaur Janma Bhumi. Right? And so he endorsed. Right? So you have maps, you have supportive evidences of Tulsi and so many other things. So with so many evidences, we believe in evidence-based Krishna consciousness. We are not blind followers. There's so many evidences being coming out, corroborative evidences coming out, maps coming out, people, local people saying so, and so many things, and vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, revelations from various other sources. And then final confirmation is Babaji Maharaj jumping and dancing and uttering out, this is the birthplace of Yehi to hai Gaur Janma Bhumi. Therefore, for us, apart from all the various things he did in his life, we acknowledge and we worship him mainly for Gaura Avira Bhava Bhumestvam Nirdesha Sajjana Priya Vaishnava Sarva Bhaumashri Sri Jagannathaya Te Namaha. The one who gave us this understanding of Gaur Avir Bharva Bhumi, he told us what is Gaur Avir Bhumi. But for him, there would remain still a little bit of doubt in our mind. It is, because there was a big controversy. What is the birth? Which is the birthplace of Mahaprabhu? It is here, there, west of the Ganga, east of the Ganga, and all Navadvip, all sorts of controversies were there. But when this happened, we know for generations to come now that this place where we are worshipping, the temple is now existing, built by Sarasvati Thakur, that is the actual place where Mahaprabhu was born. And there is no question of any doubt now. It's perfectly confirmed by authority. How he loved the dham. 6 months in Vrindavan, 6 months in Navadvip. Right? How he loved the dham. He would stay at Suryakund in Vrindavan and in Navadvip, at Kuliagram in Navadvip and Suryakund in Vrindavan. He told Biharidas to get me a set of deities. I want to worship deities. So he went to the landlord of the local area and he collected donation and brought deities of Sri Gornitai. And collected donations from Kolkata equal to 5,000 rupees of that time, 18th century. And a huge, you know, elaborate function, elaborate installation of Gornitai. And then dacoits came in after a few days and saw this Gornitai so brilliant and beautiful, golden colored. Right? They must be gold. They wanted to really steal the deities. Right? But they came and they tried to steal the deities. They couldn't do that. They fell on the ground flat, injured. And the next day, of course, they had to run away. They couldn't steal the the deities. But he felt very sad that this is looking a little risky. The Lord will not have to be protected, so he sent him to Vrindavan to some other devotees. That the deities are still worshipped in Dhobi Ghat, in Braj Bhumi. After a few days, he felt separation of the Lord again. He said, Bhairidas, get me another set of deities. I love to have deities. Right? Bhairidas went again to Radhakund this time. And miraculously, just by his desire, in a stack of hay in Radhakund, he found the deities of Shadbhuja form of Krishna. Krishna, Ramachandra, Gaurang Mahaprabhu. And he procured them and he installed them again at Radhakund, at Suryakund. And he worshipped them so beautifully over there. For many, many years, those deities are still being worshipped at Nidhuvan in Vrindavan right now. How our great acharyas have shown, one of the qualities of Gaur Bhaktas is Gaurangara Bhakta Ganer. So somebody gave 1 rupee donation. So 1 rupee donation was there, that's this donation. 1 rupee at that time, of course, big amount. Several thousand, I don't know how many, a good amount of money. So he went forward on the basket on Bihari Das's shoulders. Then he said, take me back. And he said, this is your 1 rupee, give it back to him. So I can't bear the weight of 1 rupee. How you are bearing the weight of so many thousands of rupees? So, in that sense, he showed that he is not attached to followers, he's not attached to any money. And yet, one people would come to him and give him donation, right? Put it in the pot. And then, one day he told, and now he had 200 rupees. He said, bring rasagullas. So, 200 rupees rasagullas, even now, today you can get good number of rasagullas for 200 rupees. But 200 rupees, you know, 200 years back, how many rasagullas must have got? He said, feed all the cows of Vrindavan. So they fed all the cows of Vrindavan. Right? He was taking his prasadam on the bank of the Ganga. And then one mother dog gave birth to 5 puppies. And they all scrambled and they came and started eating food. Remnants of the food on Babaji Maharaj's plate. Bhairidas is saying, how can you eat from a Guru Maharaj's plate? I said, no, don't do that. Right? I said, I will not eat. So again, he brought the puppies back. They are the dogs of the Dham. That appreciation for the Dham, right? The cows of the Dham, the dogs of the Dham, anybody in the Dham, Dham is special, right? The Sabji of the Dham, Dhamer Sabji. Sabji in the Dham also is special. So that deep appreciation to see that here everything is Chintamani. Even the sweeper, he would say, the sweeper of the Dham, somebody in Vrindavan Dham is doing sweeping and they give him some prasad, some food to eat and Babaji Maharaj happily ate that. People start cursing, Babaji, you are eating the food of sweepers, bhangi. And they are not bhangis. When the Lord came to Brajadham, before he came, he told the sages of other planets to be born in Vrindavan as ordinary. 88,000 sages were born from higher planets and they came in low class families in Vrindavan Dham. So these are all actually great souls. They look like sweepers. Again, the theme is that our eyes always see things as ordinary, right? It requires knowledge, training by experienced teachers like Srila Prabhupada and spiritual masters to truly understand. Otherwise, we start seeing everything as ordinary. This is such a big trick of Maya. To think that deities are ordinary, the Guru is ordinary, the devotees are ordinary, Harinam is ordinary, the scripture is ordinary, right? When all of things are completely extraordinary, right? But Maya covers us so badly by its Avaranatmika Shakti that we start becoming familiar and we can mistake this as ordinary. But therefore, the first process of bhakti is Shravana. Unless we Vaishnavas, practicing Vaishnavas, aspiring Vaishnavas, submit ourselves humbly in every day as a part of our diet, spiritual diet, to hear from the advanced souls, transcendental knowledge, Shabda Brahman, coming from the mouth of great souls, we will make this massive mistake of being in the part of bhakti, so-called bhakti, but successfully making everything very, very cheap, very, very ordinary. And when you think the ordinary, deity worship becomes burdensome, chanting becomes a burden, Vaishnavas become somebody worthy of being offended, and the whole spiritual life goes on for a down the drain. We have to always update our consciousness, not regularly, but every day, nityam, Bhagavad Sevaya. Right? By updating our consciousness every day, then we will realize that Krishna is extraordinary. Srimad Bhagavatam is Amalam Puranam. Harinam is Chintamani. The spiritual master is not different from Krishna. Sakshat Hari Tvena. All these essential truths will be revealed. Prakashito. Divya Jnana. Divya Prakashito. Will be manifest in our heart if we submit ourselves to the process of regularly doing Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.